All right, it is very good to be back. Hallelujah. And good to see all of you. And I don't do a whole lot of entrance into it, so I'll just say thank you, Pastor Mark, for inviting me. And I'm always glad to be here, but now I got to do what I said I would. Don't get into the Word. I mean, do get into the Word. Last night, I was with Carla and Tim, and she asked me, what's your title? Well, I hadn't even thought about a title remotely, so I shot something at her, and that's not right. That was my fake title. But today, or the real title is Not On My Watch. And you may not identify that in the message if I don't get to the end. If I get to the end, it should, hey, yeah, makes sense. But anyway, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay, verse 11. Flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession. Okay, I just want to call your attention to most, if not all, of these things that he's telling us to pursue are stuff that we've been freely given. Righteousness, we've been made righteous. And yet he says, pursue righteousness. And pretty much with the rest of them, stuff that either the Holy Ghost has shed in our heart, the love of God, and he says, pursue love. Go after it. Okay, what's the deal? Well, we have to lay hold of everything God has freely given us. That grace can't provide anything if faith won't receive it. Now, hallelujah. I've already been talking to some folks here tonight, and I can see that some folks need what I got tonight. Now, if I talk to you out there, don't say, hey, he's talking about me. I might be, and I might not be. Anyway, okay, this goes right along with Philippians 3:12, where Paul says, I press to lay hold of everything that Jesus has laid hold of for me. So he's put a whole bunch of treasure in our chest, but you can't access it except by faith. That it's not just going to fall on you, just dump on you. That we have to believe what he says about it and then take it. Now, we can't take anything that grace hasn't provided. You can't just, well, I wish for some of this and I'll just go get that. Well, what is your scripture? It's got to be based on scripture. So, grace and faith work real good together, but it takes both. But on the other hand, anything that God has provided through His grace, you can have by your faith. Okay, now let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and get down to where the message is. This is just prep, just letting you know that you got to get it. Whatever he's provided. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He delivered us from the domain of darkness. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. What in the heck does it mean? He has done it. And notice the tense, that he has, past tense, delivered us from the domain of darkness. So if I can just identify what the domain of darkness is, I can know that that has nothing to do with me. There's nothing there that has any hold upon me. And I have to say this because the church, much of the church, many of the church, sometimes us, is dwelling in stuff that we've already been delivered from, that we just haven't taken our portion. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us walking in abundant life, eternal life, yes, but abundant life. He wants you, and I can't see any age limit on this thing. Looks like it'll work for anybody that believes God. Glory. So we are delivered from the domain of darkness. That's the big thought I want to get over to you tonight. You have been delivered from the domain of darkness. A few weeks ago, my daughter mentioned that people in China, she deals with them through a telephone and gets paid to talk to them, told us that they're under a very oppressive system now of rewards and, well, merits and demerits. And through the millions of cameras that they've got everywhere, that they're able to control their whole population to award them when they do good and punish them when they don't do good. And it's a big deal. I mean, like, if they really get on the bad side, they can't travel, they can't go to schools. We can't imagine. So I can empathize with them. I can hear that and say, wow, I'll say a little prayer for them sometime. But when all is said and done, I can sympathize with them, but I can just walk right out of it into my normal world because that is not in my domain. That I'm sorry for it. I'll enter into it just a little bit just to pray, but it's really not in my domain, so it does not touch me at all, other than, you know, just Christian sympathy. Has nothing to do with us. Okay, that is a little picture of what the domain of darkness is like. That it doesn't have any more to do with you than anything. It doesn't belong to us. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Okay, now you're going to have to get this word. I'm not trying to pull something here. I'm just reading the Bible. He has delivered us. Now I could spend all my life walking in the domain of darkness, but it's not Jesus' fault. It's my fault. Either through ignorance, didn't know such a thing existed, never read Colossians, or read it, but thought, well, it doesn't mean that. It means that. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now, obviously, in sin, we can see that glory to God, I have been delivered from the penalty of sin. Never going to see hell. Don't really want a vision of it. Be just happy. Just get what I do out of the Bible about hell. So we've been delivered from that. That we'll all accept. We'll all, oh yeah, hallelujah. But there's a lot more areas of darkness that we have readily accepted or do accept. And it's all covered. He has delivered us from the domain. If I dwell in it, it's because I choose it. or choose not to do whatever it takes to get out of it. Now, I do want to emphasize that this book, probably most of the books, the epistles, but this one, look at verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints," that he's talking to Christians, pretty on fire Christians. They got real faith, they got the love of God working in them. So what about all these cool Christians that, just pretty lukewarm? I don't know, it doesn't look like it's really talking to them. But let me remember, this is Wednesday night, that the cool ones stayed home. So God has a message for you tonight, that if we could uncover some darkness that you've accepted when you just didn't see it, didn't recognize it for what it is, you have been delivered from that kingdom. Glory to God. This is so good news. When you come on Wednesday night, you ought to get good news. Really, same thing Sunday, but this is Wednesday night. So the darkness should not affect me. Okay, now, the normal stuff of darkness, sin, you know, hallelujah, we don't have to continue on in sin. We're free. We've been set free. Can we walk in it? All right, two of you can. The rest of you didn't want to identify, but we know that we can sin. It's a dumb choice, but we can do it. But anyway, let's get down to some other areas of darkness that is probably going to hit all of us in one way or another. And I don't care if you turn to all these scriptures. Will it take you the rest of the time to find Micah? Okay, well, just let me read the scripture. Micah 3:6 lays open one particular area of darkness that many of us have probably accepted. Micah chapter 3, verse 6, "Therefore it will be night for you without vision, and darkness for you without divination. The sun will go down on the prophets, and the day will become dark over them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners will be embarrassed. Indeed, they will all cover their mouths, because there is no answer from God." This is an area of darkness, when there is no word from God. Should it be? Shouldn't be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but oftentimes people are just wandering along in their own little, I know how to do this, and forgetting that God might have an opinion on what I'm allowing and what I'm not allowing. And so he's saying here that it is possible that there could be a word from God. I was thinking about this when we were worshiping a while ago, that it was a really wonderful worship time, and just thought, man, we're in the presence of God. We ought to be receivers of the very fullness and the best He's got. We ought to. He's not withholding. The Bible says no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. So anyway, here we're describing a situation where the people are existing, but they've got no vision. That's darkness. When people have no vision to live, well, where there's no vision, the people perish. My Bible says they're unrestrained. What does that mean, unrestrained? They're not held to a direction, not held to a specific thing, and therefore their lives are just going every direction, never achieving, never accomplishing, never arriving. We've got to have a vision over our lives. Certainly a church has to have a vision, but it's more than just that. It's me. It's you. You need a life vision, because without it, I perish. Without it, I've got no direction. Without it, I'm just wandering from day to day, hoping things work out, not sure if they will or not. So it is darkness to have no vision. It is very normal. It's just a normal thing for a person to want to have a legacy, to desire to have something that lives on after me that's better off because I existed. Usually we think of it, you know, having sons and all that, and I didn't have that, so I'm not cut out of the thing. It's really not about that kind, my name to go forth. It's I want my influence to go forward beyond my death. I want people to remember me not because, well, I'm glad old Bad News is gone, but he infused stuff into my life that I am better for than I would have been without him. Now that's a legacy. That's the kind of legacy I want. I've got two girls, and I believe that we have infused and are doing it, continuing, right, Shelley? That's a good time to say yes, amen. That God has put good things within us, but we want to pass them on to the next generation. So it's a normal, natural thing to desire to have a legacy, and anybody that does not have one will be unfulfilled and without a touch from God. Men build shallow, empty legacies. You know, I want my name over a big building. Big deal. That's no legacy. In fact, Absalom, the son of David, it says that he had no sons and he had this same desire. Won't turn to this, but here's what it says about Absalom. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar which is in the king's valley, for he said, I have no son to preserve my name. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. Absalom's monument is still there. We went to Israel a few years ago, and the bus passed by, and they pointed out to us, see that pillar down there? That's Absalom's pillar. Wow! And if I remember correctly, it was just off the road, maybe even down, set down a little bit, in the valley, which not a big, beautiful valley, is basically a ditch. The valley of fire, I think, trash. That was his legacy. Without sons and daughters, we set up something that is meaningless to us. And, you know, it doesn't have to be natural sons and daughters. We want to leave a good report. We leave a good reputation. I want people to know that I knew God and to carry on that legacy. So, ever hear of anybody saying, I just want my kids to be like Absalom? He couldn't do anything but grow hair. But, you know, that's one of those names that you just don't name your kid Absalom. He had nothing to leave. But we are to be people that's got a vision. Hallelujah. Without a vision, I wander through life, day in, day out. Basically getting slapped around by life. If it slaps you this way, you just wander over that way. Or vice versa. God's got better things for us than to wander through life. Now, I'm not trying to make everybody a pastor, because then you'd leave the church and then I wouldn't get invited back anymore. But we all need to have a vision. Whether we can write it out or not, it's just a fire inside that there's somebody in me that's bigger than me and taking me places where He wants me to go, and I'm going to follow and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. So that's one area of darkness that many people just don't have a vision. Well, that's dark. And you've been delivered from the domain of darkness. Well, how do I get out of it? Well, we're going to get to that, maybe. We're going to lay hold of areas of darkness that we have accepted and kick it out of our lives. Because, Janet, I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, the domain. Many people live empty lives, going to jobs they hate, day in, day out, living for Friday night, only so we can get back to Monday morning and go at it again. That's no vision. That's not God's intent. He's got better plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans of prosperity, not of calamity. Glory to God. Again, I don't see any age limit on that. You know, once you hit 65, forget it. The word doesn't work anymore. Bless God. That's not true, because I see 65 in my rearview mirror. It's what's working in you, what's driving your tomorrow. All right, that's just one area. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28, 29, you may recognize that as the blessing-cursing chapter. If you don't, well, I'll tell you, it's the blessing-cursing chapter. And one verse here, just verse 29, just to get a sense of what the curse is. And you shall grope at noon, as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Now this is one small sample of the curse. And it sounds pretty bad, but the rest, I mean, there's a bunch of verses here describing the curse. The curse is darkness. Jesus wants us living in the light, which is the blessing side, which only took about 14 verses to tell, but it covers it all. And so if I have partaken or am living in part of the curse, then I am living short of what God intended for me to live. How do I know that? Because He delivered me from the domain of darkness. Okay, the curse takes on many forms. Read through it and find out sickness is a big part of the curse. Lack is a big part of the curse. Part of the darkness. And yet, Jesus said, or Paul said, through the Holy Spirit, that He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. So, if you've accepted part of it, all you got to do is just repent and get out of it. I want to come back over on the glory side, over on the God side. Does he love us if we abide in the darkness? Oh, of course. But he would rather that you, I, come out of the darkness into his marvelous light, because he made the way for us to be there. Hallelujah. We have been delivered from it, but we gotta lay hold of it. The curse is darkness. I don't like the darkness. I've been delivered from it. Okay, I better go on here, because I've got four of these, and that's number two. And then we'll go into another part. You can't go home yet. Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Again, I don't care whether you go there or not, but this one should be very familiar to us. Okay, verse 54, and he was saying to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it's going to be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not discern the present time? Why do you not analyze the times? Why do you still live as if the times don't matter? It's because you don't see it. You're in darkness regarding the times, these people were. So, as children of light, we are to discern the times. Now, that's really got two different directions that I can see on it, is that we ought to be seeing enough to know that this whole big deal is going down the tube, that the world is coming to an end, that somebody said, I don't remember, Jesus or one of the disciples said that you're in the last days, and that was a long time ago that he said that. So we must be in more of the last days. Well, what does that mean? It means Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. That's light. But it's not given to us just so we can run and duck and huck cover. It's so that we can be busy about the Lord's business. So we are in the last days. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, it says that today is the day of salvation. Now, I contend that that is greatly misused a lot of the time, but it still means, I mean, today is the day. If you're not saved, you really ought to get saved. It'd be a smart move. But it's referring from the Old Testament, when salvation was not free and open to everybody like it is now. But he's saying that today is the day, meaning these are the days when we can walk in the Spirit, when we can walk in the high places of God, when we can live in the New Testament under a new covenant. And not just can, but we ought to. We can carry His authority. That when I pray, I ought to be praying with authority. When I lay hands on, it ought to be with an expectation that something is going to transfer from me to them. We're living in, today is the day of salvation. We are to walk in the power of the Spirit, because we've been delivered into the kingdom of His dear Son, hallelujah, which is outside the kingdom of darkness. Shouldn't be any more of this just pray and pray and pray. Well, I don't guess God's listening today. The Bible says His ears are always open to our prayers. So, since He has delivered me from the kingdom of darkness, then I can have an expectation that God is hearing my prayers. And if it's in line with His Word, He's doing something about it. Delivered into the realm of light. Okay, one more. John 8:43. Remember now, this is just some areas of darkness that we might easily have fallen into or be walking in. John 8. Got so many markers in my Bible, I'm getting them confused, but I am clear, hallelujah. John 8:43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. He says, you're of your father, the devil. Okay, it's vital to hear his word. That if I am to come out of darkness, it's by going to be by His Word. I cannot forget, and I do want to remember. Let's see if I have time. I don't. It's good. I'll tell you some other time. Okay, Hebrews 5:11. I mean, we could look at John there and say, well, that's heathen. I mean, no wonder they couldn't hear the Word of God. But here in Hebrews 5:11 says that he's talking to believers. He's saying that you are not able to hear what I'm saying because your ears have gotten weary, have gotten tired, that you've become dull of hearing. And this is believers he's talking to. If that's true, then it's possible for me to get dull of hearing. It would even be possible for me to come to a service on Wednesday or Sunday and ho-hum. Did you get anything from God tonight? No, they preached a message. I don't want to be dull of hearing. I believe God would always speak to us. In fact, I believe that many of you will get a word tonight. It won't be the same word, but you'll get a word that will encourage, it'll draw you back, it'll put you on fire, or more on fire. So we ought to hear the word of the Lord and expect a word tonight. All right, let's go on now. Since we're delivered, have I established the fact that we are delivered from the domain of darkness? Okay, I'm not going to start over. So we're delivered. But since we're delivered, we're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure that means a lot, but one thing it does mean is that I can see from His perspective. I can look at my life from God's perspective. Well, I hadn't been doing that. All right, come out of the darkness into His marvelous light. See from His perspective, walk in the world of the Spirit. Now, back in Colossians, if you have left there, just a general look at what walking in the Spirit is. Number one, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Glory to God. Well, I just don't know what God wants. Then you must not be filled with the knowledge of His will. It says that. How am I going to get this grace that He has provided for me? I told you in the beginning. By faith. Come on, class. Everything we have to get from God by faith. I may not have ever gotten into His will in anything up to now, but starting now, I have heard that I should be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay, I've heard it. Do you believe it? You can't have faith if you don't believe it. Okay, so I decide to believe it. Glory to God. I've made a big step forward. I'm in the knowledge of His will right now. Okay, the knowledge of His will is that I do some skipping to get to some parts that I want to get to here. That always happens. Why? Because I say it happens. God's desire is that we walk in this level. Not just Pastor Mark and Carmen, I mean everybody. His people, He wants us to walk in the high places of His provision. And not only does He desire that we walk there, I believe that He even has an expectation that we will. But to get there, now we have to follow the faith laws. Okay, what is that? Kind of summed up very quickly, but while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, I'm going to have to develop myself to start seeing stuff that doesn't exist or doesn't appear. It's called faith. Plant a seed, do I see an acorn or do I see an oak tree? I need to develop that ability to see an oak tree, to believe that my seed is working. We have the equipment. We have the ability to do this. Well, how do I know? Because Jesus provided a hearing ear and a seeing eye. It's of the Lord. So we've got it, but we may not have used it. It's time to use what we got. Okay, really speeding on now. There are some things that can hinder our hearing from God. Luke 24 talks about the road to Emmaus. The men were walking along there with Jesus, except they didn't know it was Jesus. And they're all sad and sorrowful about the events of the day. And He comes up to them and says, "Why are you walking along here sad?" And they relate to Him, you know, "Well, this guy Jesus was crucified and we had put our hopes in Him. We were expecting, and He's not the one. Something happened." Now we go on from the story and recognize that they should have recognized Him. They knew Him. But they were blinded by their sorrow, by their hopelessness. Pretty much the same thing with Mary Magdalene in the garden. She should have known it was Jesus. She thought it was a gardener. Blinded by stuff that was going on in her life. Sadness, sorrow. We got to watch out that emotions can blind us to what God's doing and what He wants to do. Okay, so watch out for stuff that'll blind us, lost hope, hopelessness that got the disciples when they went fishing because they're just sick of trying to chase this guy around. Okay, grief, failure, rejection, all kinds of stuff can blind us to the Word of God. Okay, how to embrace this truth so that we can say, "Not on my watch." Embracing this truth, you got to hear and you got to heed it. And quit being satisfied short of the goal. And then sometimes you just got to get an attitude. Now listen, the Word says this, "I don't feel nothing, but I am going to apply the Word to my life and come back into this marvelous light. You got to get an attitude. Okay, I'm going to speed through a story here. One time we were buying a car, and we had gotten enough word to know that we wasn't really supposed to pay it out. We wanted to pay for it, and we came up a few dollars short. So we'll go home. The salesman didn't understand it. He thought, why don't you? But we were set. We're going to do it this way. So we went home without a car. Okay, time went on. We gained some, went back to the guy. The car had gone up some. It was staying just out of reach, and frustration was mounting up. And then finally, we thought we had it. We got it. We've got enough. We're going back. And same thing. Okay, and then we get home and God says, or speaks to our spirit, you've got a friend that's a missionary that needs $1,000. Lord, remember. It didn't change him any at all. So, long story short, we gave that $1,000 and put ourselves back a ways. However, it was not very long before somebody came to me and said, how much do you lack on the car? Told him, he said, go get it. Meaning they were going to make up the difference. Okay, now it's time to go back. Well, we go back to the car place, except we didn't crawl in this time. We came in with a swagger. Glory to God. Not having to cut things short at all. And he's saying, now you could save some. We're not saving. We're buying a car. It's good when we can go to the promises of God with a swagger that my God said it. I've got it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes you got to do it that way, but that's good. His word will support a swagger. Hallelujah. Stand up, please. Heavenly Father, you are that awesome being that we are so privileged to know and to belong to. And I just pray, Father, that anybody here that's allowed darkness to control their life, I pray for the lifting of it through the revelation of your word. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen.